two chimps swiping at a gorilla?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. That is how one analyst described a deal announced this morning. Microsoft and Yahoo, they'd be the chimps in this analogy. They're teaming up to take on Google the gorilla in the online search business. In this 10-year partnership, Yahoo will send its customers search queries through Microsoft's Bing search engine, so Yahoo could focus on its popular websites and on selling ads. Here to talk about the deal is Ken Wilber, marketing professor at Duke University's Fuqua School of Business. Good morning.
Good morning.
So Yahoo's popular sites will send people to Bing?
Well, the search will be done on Yahoo's site. It's just that Bing will provide the results to your search. Essentially, what's happening is Yahoo gets to avoid paying the cost of developing search technology, and they're going to give Microsoft a relatively small share, about 12% of the advertising revenues it generates.
Who do you think wins in this deal and who loses?
You said it was sort of like two chimps taking a swipe at a gorilla.
Not my words, but yes.
I kind of think of it like the Los Angeles Clippers merging with the New Jersey Nets. That still doesn't mean that they can beat the Lakers. There's only one Kobe Bryant.
Did they get to use 10 players at once?
Exactly.
Okay, so Google stands to lose, but you don't think they'll lose much?
Well, it's possible that Google loses. It's also even possible that Google could win if they get diminished regulatory attention because they actually have a viable competitor. They might be able to make investments that otherwise they might not have been able to make.
Who should care the most about this deal outside of those three companies?
I think it's two things. Advertisers should care because Google has a more credible rival, and that's good for competition in this market. You know, maybe the one company that might care that people aren't really talking about is Facebook. Facebook recently replaced Yahoo as the leading U.S. site in terms of internet time usage, and this is going to allow Yahoo to focus more on its core competencies, and really that's going to result in a stronger competitor for Facebook.
Ken Wilber, marketing professor at Duke University's Fuqua School of Business. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
In other tech news, there's a move in Congress today to require all states to ban texting while driving. It's already illegal in 14 states and the District of Columbia. Today, a group of Democratic senators unveils their nationwide proposal. Okay, let's talk taxes for a minute. Have you ever looked at the tax that gets withheld from your paycheck and thought, "Well, I wish Uncle Sam would take more money"? Neither have I, but a group of nearly 200 ultra-wealthy Americans has banded together to say just that. Here's Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith.
The group's called Wealth for the Common Good. It includes former executives from Starbucks and Microsoft, and it's delivering a petition to President Obama and Congress today asking lawmakers to roll back Bush-era tax cuts for Americans making more than $250,000 a year. Chuck Collins is one of the group's co-founders.
We're saying we're ready to reinvest. We want a first-rate education system. We want a healthcare system where our neighbors don't walk around without health insurance. So it's really in our self-interest.
David K. Johnson teaches tax law at Syracuse University. He says rich Americans are likely to bear more of the tax burden in years to come now that the government is hurting for money and the national debt is ballooning.
We need to develop a society in which how much we levy in taxes matches up to how much we are spending on government services.
The Bush-era tax cuts for the wealthy expire in 2011, but Wealth for the Common Good points out that Uncle Sam would get an extra $43 billion if it scrapped the cuts now. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Some economic news. Factory orders for big-ticket durable goods plunged in June, the biggest drop in 5 months. The S&P 500 is down 0.8% this morning. The NASDAQ down about the same. The Dow is off 54 points at 9,042. European markets gained 1% or 2% today, while Asian markets fell. This morning, the House Climate Change Committee takes up the issue of intellectual property rights. Intellectual property has become a flashpoint in international climate talks. Poor nations are demanding access to low-carbon technology that was developed by rich countries. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
Negotiators for a new international climate treaty have fielded proposals that would allow poor nations to break patents on green technologies. The argument is that developing nations can't be expected to reduce greenhouse gas emissions without a little help. Mark Esper is with the Intellectual Property Center at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. He says if companies' inventions aren't protected, they'll simply stop inventing.
If they come to believe that at the end of the day, when they create something, it'll be taken by China or it will be taken by India and exploited in those countries, then the concern is that innovation required to address climate change will simply dry up.
The chamber recently set up an alliance to lobby for patent protections on climate technology. Esper says rather than punish inventors, climate negotiators should ensure access to low-carbon technologies through a global fund that would help poor nations pay for it. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
And finally, President Obama is scheduled to have a beer tomorrow with Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates and the Boston police officer who arrested Gates earlier this month. Obama has said the cop acted stupidly, and now the president hopes to cool things off over a brew. But wait. What brand of beer will the president drink slash implicitly endorse? Here's an exchange yesterday between the White House press secretary, Robert Gibbs, and a Fox News reporter.
Officer Crowley's drinking Blue Moon. We hear Professor Gates is drinking Red Stripe or Beck's. What's the president drinking?
The president had a Budweiser at the All-Star game. So why are you looking at me like that? That's what he drank.
We're talking Blue Moon, Red Stripe, Beck's.
What's wrong with Budweiser?
Well, could he get it
why
up
do you
Michelin
hate Budweiser?
Swing State.
Why do you hate Budweiser, Wendell? This is.
Should the president drink the Belgian-owned Budweiser? Should he drink a Boston microbrew? More on Beergate as details become available. We'd like to know where you stand on this, perhaps the most pressing issue of our time. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Dow is down 46 points. Thanks for tuning in and have a good Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.